On April the 12th, 1961, the Russian astronaut Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space. He is quoted as saying that he did not see God when he was in space. In contrast to that, the American astronaut John Glenn said, quote, "To look out at this kind of creation out here and not believe in God is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith. I wish there were words to describe what it's like." Two men looking at the same universe out in space. I'm sure that was amazing to their eyes. One believing in God, the other not. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak question, I have a question on the program this morning, and that is, can you see God? Have you seen God? That's the question I have. And I hope that it will encourage us to have faith in God and obey Him. The atheist, like Yuri Gagarin, does not believe in God because he says he cannot see God. I'm not going to believe in something that I cannot see. Well, we don't use that in other areas of our life, as we'll see in just a minute. But for some reason, in the area when it comes to believing in God, we use that approach. I don't believe in things that I don't see. So, can you see God? Can I see God? Have we seen Him? Will we be willing to look at the evidence around us? In just a moment, later on the program, I'm going to look at five areas of our life in which we can see God. And I hope that that will cause us to believe and obey in Him. Now, with regard to the nature of the person of God, He does not have a physical body that can be seen. The scriptures are clear, Jesus and others are clear, that you cannot see with the naked eye God because He doesn't have a physical body that can be seen. For example, when Jesus was talking to the Jews in John chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus said, "And the Father that sent me, He has borne witness of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form." And Jesus, when He came, He was the image of the invisible God. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. So when it comes to physically seeing with the naked eye God, no one has seen God in that way and cannot. Colossians 1:15, Paul writes about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul will write a similar statement there. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, Blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. Paul says, whom no man has seen nor can see. Well, Chris, why are you asking the question, can you see God, if Paul said that no man can see God? Am I crossed up with Paul? No, I'm not talking about seeing a physical form of God. I'm talking about seeing the evidence of God. John says that no man has seen God. So you've got Jesus, you've got Paul, and now you've got John. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, if you want to turn with me there, "No man has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." John and Paul and Jesus, clearly, they don't have a problem with believing in God, even though you cannot physically see Him with your eyes. But John says, no man has beheld God at any time. And then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So John says, we have not seen God. Again, with a physical form that we can see with our eyes. God is spirit. John chapter 4, other passages, and we cannot see his invisible form with the naked eye. So the question is asked then, how can we know that God exists? Is God a product simply of our imagination like other mythical characters that do not exist? The Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and other things that people believe in, we say, well, they don't exist because I don't see them, and that's true. So shouldn't we take the same attitude toward God? The answer is no, and here's why. The Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and these other individuals that people believe in have not manifested themselves in any way, shape, or form, let alone a physical form. God has manifested himself in other ways without it being a physical form. That's the difference. And we've got to take these other manifestations very seriously. Sometimes God would manifest himself in other forms. I believe he did that in the form of an angel when he appeared to Hagar in Genesis chapter 16, 9 and following. He appeared to Jacob in the form of a man when he wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32, 24 and following. There are different manifestations of God. And in those manifestations, we can certainly see God. The atheist has a problem believing in God because, well, I can't see God. And it's pretty convenient that he wants me to believe in him, but he doesn't show himself. That's pretty convenient. But it doesn't work like that because God has manifested himself in different ways, and those manifestations are just as real and just as much proof and evidence as physically seeing something with our own eyes. And even the atheist uses that in his daily life. He accepts that kind of manifestation and evidence without it being evidence involving seeing something with his own eyes. We operate like that all day long, but we don't operate without evidence at all, but we operate a lot of times without evidence of physically seeing something. We operate based upon something that's written on a piece of paper. We didn't see the person actually write that on that piece of paper, but at work we operate on orders and other things that are on pieces of paper, memos, other kinds of things. We did not see the person actually write that. So there's all kinds of levels of evidence. There's all kinds of levels of manifestations apart from and in addition to physically seeing something with our eyes. And the atheist and billions of people accept that all day long, but they won't accept it when it comes to God. The problem is not God has not manifested himself. That's not the problem. The problem is on the side of mankind. They're hardened. They're hardened. And they don't want to accept the evidence. And that is found throughout the Word of God, and we'll talk about that later. God manifested himself to Moses in a limited but glorious way. In Exodus chapter 33, that's one of those ways where God passed by Moses. In Exodus 33:17 and following, we find this very thing. Verse 21, Exodus 33:21, Jehovah said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand until I have passed by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So a manifestation of his glory passed by, but that was a legitimate piece of evidence. God manifested himself to Isaiah in the form of a vision in Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Again, we have to be willing to accept the kind of evidences that God gives us. We can't demand of him, well, it's got to be a certain kind of evidence. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, what did he see? He said, well, he saw the Lord. But what did he see? He saw a vision of the Lord. God manifests himself in different ways so that we can see him. And I put that in quotes. See him in many places, though not directly. So I want to talk about five different areas of our life in which we can see God. Are you willing to do that? And friends, we've got to understand that the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. When Moses worked miracles before Pharaoh and trying to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, there were times when Moses would see miracles performed and he would harden his heart. Nope. I don't believe in God. Moses was saying, I'm coming in the name of God. I'm working these miracles in the name of God, and you need to let my people go. And Pharaoh has this attitude, well, you know, who is the Lord that I should let them go? I know not Jehovah, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Who is Jehovah that I should hearken unto his voice? Exodus 5:2. Well, you would think that these miracles would soften Pharaoh, but they didn't. They hardened Pharaoh. And there were times where he thought, well, I'll let him go, and then he changes his mind. Moses was physically performing miracles that could be physically seen and experienced with the senses. The water turned to blood, and all of these miracles, the plague of frogs, lice, flies, the murrain or pestilence of cattle, the boils, hail, locusts, thick darkness, death of the firstborn, Pharaoh hardened his heart. We find the same thing with Jesus. There were many times when Jesus performed miracles and you could literally just see what he had done. You're standing right there. And yet, many of the Jews, for example, would just harden their hearts and would not do it. They would not believe that Jesus was come from God. He manifested God's power, but they wouldn't accept it. So somebody says, well, if I could just see something firsthand like that, I would believe it. No, we have case after case in the Word of God where people saw things firsthand and they still rejected that evidence. One of the powerful things that is interesting to me is in John chapter 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The Jews admit that this happened. They admit that this happened. But rather than believing in Jesus, verse 53, from that day forward, they took counsel that they might put him to death. And look at John chapter 12, verse 9. The common people, therefore, of the Jews learned that he was there, Jesus, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now look at this. But the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They're trying to get rid of the evidence. Lazarus is living, breathing, walking evidence. And rather than accepting it, they want to kill Lazarus. Let's get rid of the evidence. So no, You can provide evidence all day long to people, but it won't meet their satisfaction, and they're going to try to dismiss it, and they will continue to be hardened. Somebody says, well, if God would just show up and let me see him just for a second, then I would believe in him. That is not necessarily the case. And we're going to see that that's not the case with a famous atheist in just a moment when we get to the matter of Jesus. They admit that even that wouldn't work. So the problem is not on God's end. And don't fall into that trap, friends. People set this up and they fall into the trap of, well, the problem must be with God. No, the problem is not with God and his inability to show himself. The problem is on man's side of the equation, on our side. Man is proud, they're stubborn, they're arrogant, they refuse to admit that they're in sin. That's the problem. That's the problem. So don't let somebody spin it and put it on the side of God. If he would just show more evidence, I would believe in him. The problem is not God, the problem's with us. And we need to see God, and we need to believe and obey him. So I raise the question, can you see God? Have you seen God? I want to talk about five ways in which he has manifested himself. Five. One would be fine. One should be enough. But we have five. You see, the problem is not with God. It's with mankind. So when God shows us these things, and we use this same kind, somebody says, well, it's second hand evidence. It's not primary evidence where you see something physically with the eyes. Well, I hear my wife all day long. She calls to me from the other room. I hear her voice. I'm very familiar with it. I don't doubt that she exists because I'm not physically looking at her at the moment she's talking. I know her voice so well. When I hear her voice, I accept that as proof that that's her and not somebody else impersonating her. Somebody else has walked in my house and they've really worked hard at practicing sounding like my wife. I don't do that. All day long, friends, whether you realize it or not, you're accepting evidence that something exists without you at that moment physically seeing it. Why will we not allow God to have that same arrangement in our life? So let's look at these five areas. Number one, we see God in nature, the natural world around us. And it's just absurd to believe that all of this finely tuned universe that we have, finely tuned, finely engineered, microscopically and anatomically engineered, and yet say, well, it was all an accident from a Big Bang. When was the last time you saw a Big Bang explosion, whether it's a firecracker or a piece of dynamite or something out at the post where they're setting off a lot of artillery and shells are exploding? When was the last time anything exploded and it formed something like a finely tuned universe? We don't even accept that in the real common sense world. And yet when it comes to the universe, oh yeah, it all got started billions of years ago by a Big Bang. Psalm 19:1 and 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language, their voice is not heard. Look at the word declare, shows, utters, shows, these verbs. The natural world around us shows us that there is a creator. And anybody who's open and honest about that will accept that. You don't walk up on your cell phone and think, well, that was an accident. You know that somewhere somebody designed that and put that together. You did not see them do that. You just went to the store and bought the phone. But somewhere back in the creation of that thing, an intelligent being designed it and put it together. It didn't just accidentally end up like that. We accept that all day long when it comes to things like a cell phone, but we won't do it with this highly engineered and designed universe that makes a cell phone look like child's play. We won't accept it with that. You know why? The problem is not a lack of evidence. The problem is we don't want to submit to a God because we know that God has a word and a will, and it's contained in the Bible, and we know that that Bible has rules in it, and we don't want to follow it. Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be equal to him, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. See who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, talking about the stars, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking. Romans 1:19-20. Because that which is known of God is manifested in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since their creation of the world, yes, his nature is invisible. Paul admits that. Nobody denies that. But the point is, an invisible being can still manifest himself, and does. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can see God. How? Not his invisible nature, but what he's made, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. And he left not himself without witness. He's given us a witness. In that he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. We see God when we see the goodness, design, and power in his natural creation. Number two, we see God in his word. I know that my wife exists. When I hear her word, I don't have to physically be looking at her. I can also tell you her handwriting. Back when we used to write things by hand more than text now, I knew that she left me a note and not somebody else because of the way she wrote. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13, Paul writes, but we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. We can know what's been given to us by God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, and for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also works in you that believe. 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. We see God when we see God's character, God's law, God's words, and God's will expressed in his word, the scriptures, the Bible. It's God breathed. That's what the word inspired means in 2 Timothy 3:16. God breathed out. So, we see God in nature, we see God in his word. Number three, we see God in Jesus Christ. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. This has been shown by Paul, by John, by others. by Jesus himself. And now we have John weighing in along with Jesus and Paul. No man has seen God at any time. That's not the issue. That's not the point. We all recognize that. But look at this. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom has declared him. John 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. That's the point that many atheists are saying today. Just show me God. Jesus said unto him, I have been so long time with you, and do you not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying we have to accept that kind of manifestation and that kind of witness. Hebrews 1:3, who being, speaking of Jesus, who being the effulgence of his glory, the very image of his substance, God's substance and glory, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We see God when we see Jesus' life and Jesus' teaching. In 2012, the famous and well-known atheist Richard Dawkins was having a debate in Australia, and he was on TV, and one of the persons asked him, what would it take, what evidence would it take for you to believe in God? And he said, well, that's a very interesting question. He said, I guess maybe if Jesus showed up as a 900-foot Jesus, and he had this big booming voice, then maybe I would accept him. But then he immediately followed up and said, but then again, maybe not so much. His point was, give me a 900-foot Jesus, I might even not believe and accept that either. He's got his mind already made up. The problem is not with God. The problem is with Richard Dawkins. And if God sent Richard for his personal little desires, a 900-foot Jesus, which he could easily do if he wanted to, Richard admitted that that even would not be enough for him. So we've got to stop saying to God, if you would just give me this, and if you would just give me that, then I might possibly consider believing in you. God has given us so much, friends. Let's believe and obey him. Number three, we see God in his blessings. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, James 1:17, and a host of other passages. We see God in his children. We are partakers of the divine nature. Christians are. They're partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. They are godlike. They are godly. God's children act like him. They walk in the light as God is light. They're children of light. They love God. They're his children. 1 John 4:7. And so when you see them, you see God. Friends, in nature, in his word, in Jesus Christ, in his blessings, in his children. We simply need to go out now and believe and obey him. You will see God if you are one of his faithful children. And when Jesus comes again, you will be able to see Jesus. And you will be able to see God's face. Revelation 22, 3 and 4. Be around his throne and see God's face for all eternity. Let's accept the evidence, believe, and obey. Thank you for being with me on the program this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.